Craig Zimmerman from the law offices of Craig Zimmerman back in studio today to give us more clarification about tax questions. And I see it all the time. What is a legitimate deduction? What is not a legitimate deduction? I guess it all really kind of depends on what you do as a profession. If you're a movie producer, I assume if you go to the movies, you can probably write off your movie tickets. If you're a garbage man, probably not so much. Craig, it seems to me that anybody can make an argument about what is a valid deduction and what is not a valid deduction. Are there clear black and white rules on this, or is there room for debate?
Well, I mean, there's some black and white rules that everyone follows when it's in the IRS code. And it depends if you're an independent contractor or an employee.
Right.
The garbage man's not an independent contractor. He or she is an employee. So they don't really get to take any deductions per se. I mean, though, if you work for someone and they mandate that you buy a uniform,
right,
you can deduct the uniform costs. As an employee, though, you can't deduct travel to and from work, whereas an independent contractor, for the most part, travel between jobs is deductible. So you get mileage, gas,
right,
which helps, which a lot of independent contractors I know, we represent a ton of truck drivers who own the, you know, who own the trucks, own the trailers.
Right.
And gas and mileage deductions are exorbitant. That's what half their stuff is.
Sure, yeah.
But you really, what you're looking at is the cost of doing business. If you're an independent contractor or you own your own business, not a corporation, is it the cost of doing business, generally speaking?
What if I was a video game producer and I wanted to see what my competition was doing? If I buy a video game, is that a cost of doing business?
I would argue it is. I can almost guarantee you. I won't almost guarantee anything, but I would say that the IRS, if they audited you and looked at it, they would deny that. They would say that's personal use. Now, it also probably goes to how many games you're buying. I mean, if you're buying every game, every sports game, every RPG game, at some point you're like, well, what do you do?
Right.
Barbie. Yeah. I'm not thinking if you're doing the newest Pokemon video, you need to have Call of Duty. You know,
sure.
Call of Duty. But I think there is some of that where you're looking at competition and you want to see what else is going on that it could be deductible.
What about partial deductions? If I buy a new TV based on watching a certain thing for work, is that, can I write off a certain percentage of the television, or am I just SOL?
That's a more grayish area.
Right.
I mean, you're saying, okay, I'm a sportscaster and I, you know, I work from home and I don't get to go out to all the sporting events or fights.
Right.
So I'm going to rent the pay-per-view and I'm going to watch it on my TV. And I think that's a good example.
Okay.
The TV is based in my house, in my family room that everyone watches.
Right.
The pay-per-view, the cost of the pay-per-view, if I was a fight writer, that's clearly deductible.
Right.
Because that's the cost of doing my business, doing my job. The TV is a little more difficult because you'd have to argue what percentage of it do you use for business versus what percentage do you use for work. And that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't own like a 10 grand TV. I mean, if you have a 2 grand TV and you're using it for personal and work and you say work is 10%, it's a $200 deduction.
Not worth it.
I guess you can bury it somewhere and no one would know the difference.
Maybe. I'd hate to get called out on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something I would put on a return. I mean, I've seen those with less scrupulous tax preparers are doing it themselves. They get mm-hmm. creative and call it office expense.
Right, yeah.
Or computer equipment.
Right.
But yeah, you know, it's the same thing with your computer if you're streaming it online and watching it. You know, how much are you using for work? How much are you using it for home use? And then you get to deduct the percentage that you use for work.
Right. I could come up with all sorts of weird scenarios, so stop me if I start getting outlandish with these hypothetical questions.
Okay,
but
stop now. No.
Thank you. Always a joker is Craig Zimmerman. Okay, so say I'm a salesperson. I need to buy a suit for a presentation. Is that suit, the cost of the suit, is that a price of doing business?
No. There are lots of guys who have tried that. My favorite cases, I've seen it with the more exotic dance clientele who buy lingerie or other kind of items like that.
Right, right.
I've seen them lose. And so, I mean,
Just having that conversation and justifying it, you've already lost. I'm just saying.
The suit, you're really going to lose. You're going to lose that. Again, it's not a uniform. It's regular clothing. You're going to lose that.
Right. Okay. What if I'm a professional sports athlete and I need to keep my cardio fitness up? Can I buy a bicycle?
You know, I think you can get away with that one. It's a little tougher. Again, personal versus, you know, work use. I think you can argue a lot better because you have personal trainers, you have nutritionists, you have dietitian coaches. You're all deducting that. That you could potentially deduct the cost of the bicycle as a one-time deduction. I think that's a lot more supportable.
All right, now let's get into some very common expenses, but I still think a little bit out there that might need some justification. I'm a business owner. I have employees. I buy season tickets to the local baseball club. I hand them out to my employees. When do my personal baseball tickets become a business expense to the company?
I think right there and then they're an employee benefit. Or if you're a sales company and you use them for sales perks, which is really common.
Right.
Baseball teams live and die. I mean, that's where all the suites are born.
I've never heard of anybody in my life that has a private suite, their own private suite.
Well, because they go for hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And if a corporation couldn't get that as a tax write-off, how many suites do you think are going to be sold?
Sitting empty, yeah.
So those I think, it, by their mere existence, show you, under the right, in most circumstances, they're deductible.
Right. How about a business dinner? What is a business meal and what is not a business meal? Because a lot of people will do business with the same people over and over again, and they, you know, create relationships and friendships that I'm sure there's more than a handful of business dinners that take place without any business being discussed.
Yeah, I think we all know the old stereotype where you sit down with your family and, you know, I'm a tax lawyer, and I say, okay, so everyone file your taxes? Everyone good?
Right.
Good, this is business.
Right.
That's not going to qualify. I think if you're doing it with clients or potential new clients or even employees, depending on the frequency and, you know, the nature, they're clearly deductible. I mean, most people know when it's not a business dinner. I go out to a trade show in Vegas. I buy dinner for a client or a vendor. It's a business dinner. I go to dinner with my mother and my father, not a business dinner.
Let's say you're with that client that you know, you're potentially doing work with or have done work with, and it's not dinner, it's a round of golf.
Marketing expense, again. I think, you know, there's some limitations out there on meals and entertainment, but for the most part, I think you can include that in that aggregate amount.
Sure. Well, we're making, I think, a lot of hypothetical questions here, adding clarity to those questions. I'm curious, though, how out there can you get before your return just goes, hey, audit me, please. You need to audit me. Look at me. I'm doing terrible things. Audit me right now.
There's no bright line. This is going to get you audited. Some people like say, well, if you take too much of this deduction or too much of this, you're going to get audited. I don't know how true that is. I think it comes down to a facts and circumstance case. And if you get audited, you got to be prepared to defend it. And sometimes you don't want to get too aggressive, because if you get too aggressive on the wrong expense, the examiner's desk is going to, revenue officer is going to come out and just destroy your entire return, and you lose stuff that you later have to fight for. So I think judgment is the better part of valor, I believe is the saying.
Sure.
But I think that, you know, you can be aggressive, but not ridiculous. I have a friend that says, I'm needy, not greedy. I think that works in this case. You know, it's a true deduction. I believe in it. Even if it's aggressive, and I have no problems with aggressive returns. But I wouldn't go overboard.
I've thrown quite a few hypotheticals at you. I'm sure our listeners can throw some more accurate real-life situations towards you. How do they do so, Craig?
You can call us. It's 1-800-987-3057. That's 800-987-3057. Or you can find us on the web at www.craigzlaw.com. That's Craig, the letter Z, law.com.
You know, my main competition drives a really nice new car, so I think I should buy a new car to stay in competition with them. Is that a business expense?
For you, absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
I want to see you audit.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for specific legal advice in your situation. There is no attorney-client relationship formed unless you have a legal services agreement executed by you and the law offices of Craig Zimmerman. There are no representations or guarantees of any outcome being made in this podcast. This is not an attorney advertisement or solicitation for new clients in any state or jurisdiction where the firm does not accept clients. The firm maintains of-counsel relationships in states where it does not have an office. Our attorneys are licensed to practice in California, New York, New Jersey, and Texas.